Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. I had to say that really loud and sound like Robin Williams, huh? Good morning, Vietnam!
Yeah, really.
Tell me, you know, kind of turn like Vietnam here a little bit. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. This is Sovereign Mind Radio. We're in the studio here. I have several people here with me. I have my sister and co-host.
Good morning.
And her name is Linda, just in case you wanted to know. I really don't want to, but, you know.
Keep it up. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Remember, we're on the air.
Also, we have in the studio with us this morning our gal and great soundboard operator, producer, all around great person who has a bad knee today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
So we've been have to give her aspirin or something. She's in pain.
Just put me out of my misery.
Oh, they shoot horses, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah. And also.
Not an option, folks. Not an option.
Okay. Also, we have with us our guest is Bill Chappell. He is running for District 1.
District 4.
District 4. I don't even
Come
know
on.
What I'm talking about.
I'm District 4. It's your district.
I know. Stop. I'm supposed to know everything.
You do.
Okay. Anyway.
Reality check.
Yeah, reality check. Anyway, Bill Chappell's with us here this morning. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, and thank you for inviting me on the program.
All right, very good. And today is October 27th, 2012, and if you'd like to go to the chat room at 1460kcnr.com, it's kcnr1460.com, and the phone number here is 530-605-4567, so please feel free to call in if you have any questions for Bill, and or go to the chat room and do that there, and you know, you can always type in a question and we'll get it to him that way as well. So before we get started with Mr. Chappell, let's get our housekeeping out of the way here. Any current veterans events that we need to talk
yes,
about?
Yes, we have the North Valley Stand Down going on this weekend, folks, so the veterans need to get out there and get gear and services, all kinds of different things.
Could you turn her sound up higher, Rachel, so that she blasts my eardrums out again?
Yeah.
Turn it up really high. Okay,
reminds
Rachel?
Me of when we were kids after I slugged her, you know, she's screaming in my ear.
Yeah, that'll be going on today and tomorrow. I don't know what's going on with mine.
Doesn't matter. Move on.
Okay. So. And then the Jasper District Fairgrounds in Anderson in Rabba is having free transportation for veterans.
All right. What do you guys do down there anyway? The stand down. What does that mean? You guys all just stand around standing down? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. No, we go down there. Well, the ladies auxiliary for AMVETS, we help with cooking and serving of the veterans. They do three meals a day down there, but they can go to court down there. They can get, different services.
Dentists, things like that.
Yeah, all of that. Today, actually, this afternoon, I believe it's Lithia Chevrolet is going to be there, and if anybody's having problems with their car, they will diagnose the problem. They won't work on it, but they will tell them what they need to have done so they can have it done and not have to pay for the diagnose.
So not everybody has forgot about you veterans out there, so get down there. Yeah, very
That's
good.
That's for sure.
Okay, so I got first quote, and then I want to talk a little bit about money, and then let's get to Bill. I got like four or five quotes here, but I'm only going to take one, and we'll move on to the next one. There's so many good quotes, I was like, wow, I just write them down. So the first quote is from Raoul Berger. I don't know who he is, but I think he's a Supreme Court Justice. Usurpation, the exercise of power not granted, is not legitimized by repetition. I think that's a pretty good quote. In other words, if you are taking power that doesn't belong to you in the government, like attacking Libya without Congress approval, no matter how many times you do it, it doesn't legitimize it.
Oh, it doesn't.
You know, and that could go across the board, local, state, and federal. You think about it. How many of these guys are starting to circumvent the rule of law, do whatever they want? Well, that's not legitimizing it, guys. It's just doing it.
That doesn't make
and,
it so.
You know, there could be time to pay the piper sooner or later here. So, with that, let's go on. And I wanted to talk a little bit about money. Now, I just have a question to pose to everybody out there. What is the difference between a $1 bill issued from the government and a $1 bill issued from Parker Brothers? We all know who Parker Brothers are, right? That's the guys who make Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, think about that for a second. What delineates a $1 bill from the government issue and a $1 bill issue from Parker? It's the perceived value. Why is that perceived that this one's more valuable than the other? Because they're both nothing but pieces of paper.
Right. Well, you can buy little green houses.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you could buy big greenhouses, too. just send all your money to the government, and they'll send it to Solyndra.
Well, that's true.
But the point being is the reason that we have that value in that other piece of paper is it's backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Now, we've heard that saying before, well, we're backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Well, think about that for a second. What happens when we lose faith in our government because it becomes a criminal organization that circumvents the law by counterfeiting and debasing the money supply, and it can no longer be exchanged for real money, which is gold and silver? Because the reason we had faith in it is that it used to be you could take that piece of paper down to the Treasury and exchange it for real money.
Right.
It was backed by real money. Okay. In 1971, they took us off the gold standard. Now, if you can no longer, exchange that piece of paper for real money, okay, and we're losing faith in our government because they're debasing the currency through overspending and printing money out of thin air. Yeah. So you keep printing this money out of thin air. At what point in time is that going to be just about as worthless as one of those dollar bills on Monopoly?
I think we're pretty well there.
Well, and backed by the credit of the United States, the full faith. So first you got to have faith in the money that it's not being debased, and you got to have faith in the money that is backed by something or exchangeable for real money. Well, what happens when the United States government trashes their credit to the point where they can no longer borrow any money because they become such a risk that they won't pay it off, and the only way they can pay it off is by printing money out of thin air to debase the currency anymore? So what happens when the credit is trashed for the United States as well? And, you know, I guess the $16 trillion debt going up to, you know, $20 trillion before, if Obama gets reelected, we know it's going up to $20 trillion. If Romney gets reelected, we know it's going up to $20 trillion. So what happens when the credit of the United States is no longer good, and so we lose full faith and credit of our government and the United States? What makes you think that dollar bill is going to be worth anything more than that piece of Monopoly paper issued by Parker Brothers?
It's not.
That's the question. Yeah. Now, then we say, oh, why would gold and silver be worth anything? Because it's real money. It holds its value. All the properties are real money. Money 5,000 years. You know, that you can't counterfeit it. It stores the value in itself. It's fungible. It's divisible. That's why it's money. It has the most characteristics like money as a medium of exchange than any other substance in the known universe. Okay. So I want you to think about that, and then you say, well, I'd rather have real estate. When was the last time you tried to go buy a loaf of bread with your property? Is it a very good medium of exchange? Well, it might be a good investment, but can you exchange that in smaller, divisible sums for things that you need in the marketplace? Oh, they'll never use real money in the marketplace. We'll just keep using these fake dollar bills. Really? Why is gold and silver accepted universally as a medium of exchange in every country in the world, but we're being told it's really not good?
Right.
With that, I think we're going to go to a break and then come back with Bill Chappell. I just want to leave that thought with you and see what you think.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA-trained instructors. Come check out our in-store product and enjoy the friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable service you'll get with each and every visit. Don't forget to ask Bastiani Arms about their 90-day layaway for your convenience. If you want the best in weapons, service, and shooting supplies, then Bastiani Arms should be your first stop. Satisfaction guaranteed. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, open Tuesdays through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or call us at 222-8222.
Free. Is anything really free anymore? The answer is yes. Did you know that Gone for Free Recycling will come to your home or office and remove your old electronics and appliances for free? Working or not? TVs, computers, monitors, refrigerators, microwaves, washers, and dryers, the list goes on and on. All removed at no cost to you. Just call 357-GONE. That's 357-4663 and make an appointment today. Or check out their website at goneforfree.com. Your old electronics and appliances will be gone for free.
Mark the date. It's Off the Leash when KRCR-TV and Enjoy Magazine present the Hot Dog Fashion Show and Brunch Saturday, November 10th at the Holiday Inn. And it's all for the animals at Haven Humane Society. Watch some of our area's most popular celebrities take to the runway, wearing this season's fashions accompanied by their favorite pooch. Remember the Hot Dog Fashion Show and Brunch Saturday, November 10th at the Holiday Inn. Get your tickets at Haven Humane Society, enjoy the store, or call 241-5262.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Sovereign Minds. I could listen to that song all the way through. That's a great song. That's, what is that? That's Marshall Tucker. Can't you see, I think. Or is it? Yeah, can't you see? Okay, so we're back. We're here in the studio with Mr. Bill Chappell running for District 4.
All right.
running is right.
Yeah, you must be running around a lot. I see your signs everywhere. I'm pretty sure you got people helping you with that. But, man, I went up to Mount Shasta to Wairika yesterday because I had some business up there, and I didn't really realize how far north District 4 went.
Goes right to Siskiyou County.
Yeah, it's all the way to Siskiyou County. So interesting.
It's a lot of area.
So the Board of Supervisors controls quite a bit of stuff.
They do.
Yeah, maybe that's part of the problem. So
we're working on that.
Well, I'm trying to work on it if I get in. That's for sure.
Well, tell us about yourself, Bill. Give everybody an intro. I'm sure they've a lot of people have been listening to you probably prior to this. You've been around, but tell everybody why you think you should be Board of Supervisors. What's your qualifications?
Well, my background is, if I go real quick here, I started off as an auto mechanic in the Bay Area, then I ended up getting into management of dealerships, about three of them in the Bay Area. And then at that time, I decided I wanted to try something different, so I went into teaching. I got into the California Youth Authority. I was there for 3 years as an instructor for California Youth Authority, which is Preston School of Industry, which we had all the incorrigibles of the state of California. Plus, we were the dumping grounds for anybody that couldn't get along at any other institution. So it was an interesting job, and I did real well at it. I had government endorsement of one of my programs. Finally got the job that I really wanted to do. I went to Contra Costa College. I was there for about 8-9 years and in the automotive and developed a lot of programs. I was actually a vocational developer there. I've got actually a supervision credential for community college. I was going to be dean of vocational education there. Then we decided the Bay Area was getting too crazy. We decided we'd move up north, so we bought Lakeshore Resort and Marina in 1978. Ran it for 25 years, a very successful business. And I've been playing around with a lot of emails with the people a lot on the federal level and realizing there's not much I could do on the federal level. So one of the things I got to thinking about is, you know, every level, like you mentioned before, local, state, and federal, has problems. And I thought, you know what, if we can get some movement in our county, and maybe I can be active there and really do something that's going to be a good job. And one of my things that I said, we need to take this country back and let's do it one county at a time. Let's start with Shasta County. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I've tried to get myself out there as the representation of the people. That's what I want to do. We have problems. They need to be resolved. And we need to get resolved in a fair and equitable manner. Okay, so that's where I'm at.
Okay, very good. So you're running against Sherry Beck Dolores.
Dolores Lucero. Yeah,
that's quite a deal there. Yep. And no controversy or anything going on. You can't make this stuff up.
Even if we try.
You don't even have to try. I'm going to leave that one alone. But I was kind of looking over the let's get right into the meat of the matter. What makes you different from the other candidates, Bill?
Well, I'm going to just stick with one candidate, but only because I think Dolores got into the this election really late, and I don't really know any of her background other than everybody knows all what's happening with the recall and all that. But Sherry Beck has been in the government side of things for about 25 to 28 years. Worked state legislators. She was the office manager there, and is intrinsic into government ideas. One of our debates, she said that state government can take care of us. And my feeling is the state government's the problem. And I come from the private sector, especially being 25 years in Shasta Lake with about 32 different government entities happen to answer to, and realize that there's a lot of oppressive regulations out there that really need to be looked at and try to be changed. And I'm sure anybody that's out there with a business or anything with trying to start a business in California or Shasta County, it's not an easy project to get done. And there's a lot of loops to go through, and after a while sometimes you get discouraged. And we shouldn't be discouraging that. We should have the red carpet out. We should have an avenue to where those things can be easily done, and we could actually have somebody that actually helps them with the planning and so forth, and especially people that get in on an entry-level business that don't really know too much what they're doing, and they've got a lot of questions, and have somebody that can do that for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm just going over this. We were going to talk about this fact-check sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had time to really go over it in depth, but there's a lot of statements that were made here that I guess are not true from your opponent, evidently, here. And evidently, all of your statements were true. Is that correct?
That's correct. That was Women's League of Voters, and it was a forum we had on Wednesday night. And one of the gentlemen there was there, and he was running fact checks, and so all of our answers were subject to his fact checks. And
Well, I want to start with this one and work back. I'm going to start from the farthest way, you know, farthest into the page, and work back. And you know, this is statement 17. It says Beck stated that the county has already adopted the climate action plan, and verification is not yet. Have they done it? What happened? So let's talk about this climate action plan. And this is this feather into this regional government we keep hearing about. And
and here's the thing: the climate action plan, if it gets established in our county, then we all need to move to the Netherlands, because you can forget about it, because now then you've got another imposing regulation coming on called Agenda 21. So
doesn't that Agenda 21 just a bunch of smoke and mirror crap that doesn't really connect to anything?
Not really. I mean, I hate to talk about it because it's such an abstract idea that most people, if they hear about it, they close their ears, they don't want to hear it, and they get scared. And it actually was endorsed by the first president, George Bush, and then it was also ratified with an executive order by Bill Clinton. And what it basically does, it puts us in control of the United Nations. And you're seeing that right now with the United Nations going to come in and they're going to police our polls, okay?
Well, isn't that just all suggestions, though? I mean, that's what you hear is, oh, they're not going to – they really don't have any control in the treaty. It doesn't override the Constitution. But we – you know, I keep hearing the suggestions, but I'm not too sure. But if – because if it doesn't matter. If I'm suggesting to you that you park your car over in a spot across the street and you do it, do I actually have the director exercise direct control over you? You know, I guess that would be a good way to put it, maybe, you think?
Well, yeah, and I mean, what you're seeing is you're seeing a government, currently federal government, that's not paying attention to the Constitution at all. So we're having a serious problem with that, and Agenda 21 takes the Constitution totally out and puts us in a communist Marxist state, basically, where the people have no rights.
A lot of people don't know what communism or Marxism is, and you know, it's really an economic system if you get right down to it. Just like the Constitution is an economic system, it's based on, you know, free enterprise, government, less controls. You know, but if you look at communism, it's control of pretty much control of everything. You know, through the government. You know, control of the banks, control of central planning. You know, so people, they go, oh, we're not communists, but they have no idea what a communist system is. It's not a bunch you guys running around little red star stars on their hats. It's an economic system where the government tells the private sector
what they can and can't do
through the laws.
Yeah.
And when the private sector loses their ability to have input on that, and you have government agencies and government bureaucrats doing that, that starts toward, that's pretty much Marxism, isn't it?
It's getting real close. I mean, it's there. But one of the things, actually, that question should have been to the Integrated Regional Water Management Program.
Right. That's number 18. I was kind of looking about that.
And that's the one that actually our county's considering, and my opponent says it's great. Who endorsed her was Jim Nielsen, and Nielsen is against it. I'm against it. Siskiyou County has said they're not going to buy into it. What it does, it has 16 bullets in it that allude to the climate action plan. In a nutshell, to make it fairly simple, is that the state currently controls our surface water. Now they're trying to control our groundwater. If it passes, what you'll see is everybody that's a well user, whether it's a business or private property, and any entity that has one or two or three wells on it, we'll have to put meters on. 2015, you'll have a 10% reduction in your water use. 2020, you'll have a 20% reduction in your water use. And then from there on, who knows? I mean, you know, this stuff starts off, it's kind of like, I don't want to get too far out there, but we got the fire tax, right? You know, $150. And it's illegal.
Where does it end? You know,
and that's a starter fee, but then, you know, it could go to $1,000 a year. So, and that's a totally, and there's where we're talking about the Constitution, and we're talking about the state now, that they passed a law that's totally illegal if they followed the laws of California. So they're not following the laws like they should be anymore, and we're going to have to pull them on the carpet, and I'll tell you what it's going to take. And Nielsen said it the other night, and in my campaign, I say, we together make a difference. People are at this point going to have to wake up, put aside some hobbies and do some things and get more political active if they want to be involved in this United States of America. And if they don't, they're going to suffer the consequences of it.
Yeah, there'll be a third. We'll be a third world country with no commerce and the government controls everything. So explain to me the difference. I mean, so we got the Climate Action Plan. That's I'm not real smart on these things, you know. So you got to like do, you know, step by step here for me so I get it. The Climate Action Plan is a local plan that the Board of Supervisors is implementing, and then the Regional Water Plan is the state implementing?
No, this is all coming from the state.
Oh, it's all coming from the state.
Yeah, and it actually was put together by a firm that I'm not for sure is even in America. It was a concept, okay?
So this is like an NGO, like a non-governmental organization?
Yes, exactly. You got it. Yes, exactly. And the concept was put together. Some states have refused it in its entirety, like Arkansas. And they're being sued by the federal government. I don't know if it's currently or not, but that's what I was hearing on the news media. So that's, if it's correct, it's correct. And if it's not, it's not. But that's exactly what I heard on the news media.
Well, you can't believe any of that anyway. So.
Well, some of it you can't. Some of it you can't, you know.
I think we got to go to a break.
Okay.
So let's hold that thought. And then let's come back and let's target this a little bit more, because I want to understand it, and I want the listeners to be able to.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Reading area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, we welcome Congressman Steve Pierce of New Mexico. He's the chairman of the Congressional Western Caucus. We'll talk about their priorities, which include empowering local governments, achieving American energy independence, protecting private property, and changing federal land management policy. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460, KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24-7 on KCNR1460.com.
You can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460, home of the Free Fire. We're back with Mr. Bill Chevelle. And let's finish out this climate action plan thing, and then we'll move on to Knighton Road. But, you know, I just want to get this thing. So we got the state implementing two plans. One is the regional action plan, and the other is the climate action plan. And we got more plans coming down from these guys, and Carter's got pills and regulations. And, you know, and this is all about controlling our water. And, I mean, that kind of is communism, I think, or Marxism, is when the government controls your private property rights to the point where they're not private anymore and you don't have any control. So, you know, that sounds good if you're living in an apartment down in downtown San Francisco, but not real good if you're a rancher or a farmer or a producer who is you know, growing food and living off his land and being self-reliant.
Well, not only that, I don't think people realize it will start with the farmers.
Right.
But it will affect everybody.
Right.
Whether you have a farm or not, if we let them take control of this.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, in Europe, where they have a lot of this implemented already, my understanding is that you can't even take a hot shower at certain times because they have control over your...
Yeah. Yeah. They tell you when and where and how much water you can use.
And that's getting into the smart meter, too. So that's what's happening. That's here now with PG&E, the smart meter,
So this is all interrelated then, huh?
Yeah. Well, the climate action plan, basically, it's to control greenhouse gases, which is carbon dioxide. Myself personally, I have a hard time buying into carbon dioxide as a serious problem. I mean, as human beings, we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. If God created us, did He create us so we're going to pollute the earth? I mean, It's hard for me to understand.
Well,
let's
just say theoretically that is a problem, that carbon dioxide is a problem. Let's run with that for a second. Does that mean that the government should control everyone and everything and make sure that we have to pay people for carbon credits and all this stuff?
Well, and that's where it is, Mark. I mean, it's carbon credits, and a lot of people don't understand that. But if you produce carbon dioxide in your factory and you produce too much carbon dioxide, you can go to a bank that was going to be, had Bill Hillary Clinton in it, had Obama in it, had George Soros in it, is out of Chicago, and you can buy carbon credits. And you can still pollute, but you have another entity that doesn't have those kind of pollutions, and they are on a positive side, so they don't have a lot of high CO gases going out. So they get credit. So their credit goes into the bank. The deficit goes in, and they flip-flop. Of course, then where they make their money is on the exchange, because they're getting a certain percentage of that going on. Right now, Europe is trying to, and I don't know if they're doing it, but they're doing the airlines. I mean, if the airlines come out of America and go to Europe, they want the mileage from New York to England, and from England back to New York, they want that mileage with that carbon tax.
So this really doesn't solve the problem. What it does is it enriches the middlemen, is what it sounds like to me. Ah, those guys, they'd never do anything like that.
Well, what it does, it takes an incentive out of trying to be a manufacturer in the United States of America. And, I mean, you know, you've got India, you've got Japan, you've got China, that they're not buying into this at all. So it's just an avenue. Actually, basically what it is just an additional tax. And,
right.
And they're making it sound like the global warming will have a huge problem. But here's the thing that it does that people need to understand. It restricts their driving. Let me just get into this. They're going to go back to the 1990 levels. That's a joke. 1990 levels, they don't have any standards. They didn't test this stuff in 1990, so it's going to be a fictitious figure put into the computer, and then it's going to go forward, okay? So and this came about with AB 32's Global Warming Solutions Act in 2006. So this stuff's been around for a while. But they want to demonstrate this trajectory towards 2050. So the reduction now is going to go all the way to 2050. You're going to end up with a 15% reduction by 2020, going to have a 45% reduction by 2035, and then when you get an executive order S3-05, established in 05, by 80% in 2050, 80% of carbon dioxide in 2050, one thing, the trees needed to live. They may not be alive, okay?
Well, you know, the other thing,
the other thing is we're not driving anymore.
That's what I was just going to say. That, okay. That's not just an 80% reduction in carbon levels or carbon monoxide or carbon, what is it? Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Carbon dioxide. Yeah.
And so what that is that's actually an 80% limitation in your driving.
Actually what they come up with is a 74 restriction per family per day.
So you'll only get so much. I mean,
right.
You go to work and back and that's it.
And 34 miles in the city per family per day. Okay, so if you got two or three people driving in your family, somebody's going to start riding a bicycle.
Yeah, just like China.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do about this? What can you do about this, Bill, at this local level? If we get you into the Board of Supervisors, what's your answer? What do we do?
Well, I think what we need to do, I mean, Siskiyou County rejected the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, and I think we need to reject that. I think that we need to look at all these plans very conclusively and decide on if we want to buy into any part of them or not at all. The state passed 1,300 new regulations last year. Come on, 1,300. Think about that, okay? Those guys are bored. Plus, how are they going to regulate them? And they've got all the little government entities fighting over them. Who's going to regulate them? Because guess what? It means more money into them because all these little regulations have dollar signs tagged to them.
Well, one of the arguments I hear, too, is that, you know, we need to get involved now because they're going to go ahead without, you know, with or without us, and we need to make sure that we have a say on the board. But my understanding is that, you know, you'll have a board with non-government entities controlling the board through numbers, and we'll actually lose control of the county sovereignty through this. Is that sum it up?
Yeah, and one of the things what I want to do, I want to make the public very aware of this stuff. So I mean, if we have to take buses to Sacramento, we need to push back on the state. But my opponent is saying that. That's where you heard that. Integrated Regional Water Management Program plan, takes six counties in. One of the people on the board for the six counties, there'll be 12 people, two from each county, will be a supervisor. Some of the supervisors in our county currently are for the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. So if that person gets on that board, we have 50% that's for it. Then they get to appoint somebody that's not voted in by the people. So you'll have one person that's going to be appointed, one person's going to be on the board, and they're going to go to each county. Then they're going to decide, they're going to look at the plan, and they're going to decide how's the better way to manage the water in all six counties with the reduction of water so we have sustainable water use throughout a certain period of time. Why would we want to dilute our strength and have
at the local level
a dictating with five more counties with representation that the public doesn't even really know what they're... Some people buy Fords and some people buy Chevrolets, okay? There's different ideas in this world. But if the people that go to those boards and they don't have the betterment of the people in their mind and they think they need to buy into the state because they think the state's all-inclusive of resolving our problems, that's where we're going to go. So why would we want to do that? Let's fight this battle right here in Shasta County.
You know, what you're telling me is these guys will have no accountability. They won't be elected. You can't fire them. You can't get rid of them. And they're going to be appointed by a special interest group that has an interest in making sure that this goes through, because who's paying them? Are they getting paid from their non-governmental organization to implement this? I would assume that they're all on a payroll. So they're unaccountable. They're on a payroll. What is the definition of a conservative here? We've got everybody running around now because conservative is popular, and we put little flags on our signs. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative. But guess what? What does that mean? That you centralize government in a body that's not controllable, unelected, central planning? I mean, that's not conservative. That's Marxism.
It is. It is. These are the strongest reasons why I got into this, because I'm going, I don't know. I say, let's do some common sense, and I knock on doors and people say, good luck. You know, I mean, they actually realize that there isn't anything like that going on anymore. So, but like I said earlier, my plan is, I'm going to be on these radio programs. If I have to have one myself, if I have to put blogs out, I want to make sure that the Shasta County citizens know what's occurring in their own county, in their own backyard. So they're very much aware, and we get the public push behind it. It's just like that fire tax. Doug LaMalfa and Jim Nielsen both said they're going to peel this tax, and when they get down to a certain place, they want people to show up in Sacramento. Well, that's what I've been saying all along. We're going to have busloads, whatever it takes. We have to start pushing back. Voices and bodies count. But if we don't, then we're not going to be accounted for, and we're going to get what we get.
I believe, seriously, that at some point it's just going to be no. I mean, you know, Gandhi style, hey, we're not going to play with, we're not going to do it anymore.
We're done.
We're done. We're not going to send you the money. We're not going to comply. And that's a radical solution, and I'm not suggesting that that's your position, Bill. But I'm getting to the point where I'm tired of these guys. Where does freedom start and slavery begin? And when you're a slave to the state, you have no private property rights. And when you got no private property rights, you're not free anymore, and you're controlled by whoever controls your property. And people better wake up to that fact. And the people that don't own any property, you'll never, ever own any property.
No, because they don't.
And you'll be poor for the rest of your life, because that also stifles production.
Yeah, they don't want you to own any property. And if you just go back to the original Constitution, the way it was intended, and the power was supposed to be in the people and in the states, not the federal government. The federal government was going to control the military to protect us, interstate commerce, and various other things like that. But now what's happening is the feds are coming into the states. Look what they did. Arizona, Texas. They've done it to multiple states that they come in and they say, no, you're going to do this. California, okay? Over the marijuana thing. They're coming in, and whether they're right or wrong, the states at their level need to go, wait a minute, we're going to get back to where we need to be, and you guys need to get back where you
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Because if we don't, it's not going the right direction.
It's going the way it's going right now. So listen, we got to go to a quick break here. We never have enough time here. We need another hour or two.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Like yesterday. It was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low. And the secrets that we shared. Mountains that we moved.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with BNT Satellite. As you know, Glenn Beck is only on Dish. Don't call the 800 number. Please call us to set up your appointment. 244-1988. That's 244-1988. And thanks for keeping it local.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Hey, Papa Bear, what's with all that racket you're making?
Well, I'm trying to find the stovepot Grandma gave me back in the day.
What for?
Well, with pot roast perfection going on now at Black Bear Diner, our pot roast has to be just like dear old Grandma used to make. And that means I gotta find just the right pot.
Now hold on there, Papa Bear. I think your grandma would be mighty proud of our homemade pot roast dishes, like the pot roast pepper jack omelet served all day and our Cajun pot roast melt. Now that's some grilled goodness.
Well, what about the beef pot roast stroganoff for dinner?
It will taste just like Grandma used to make.
Well, why didn't you say that before, Sugar Bear? Let's go.
For a limited time, enjoy specially prepared pot roast creations only at the Black Bear Diner.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Harmonica makes me feel like what we feel like here. We're like, it's like, you know.
The train.
Yeah, the train. That's, who's that, Blackfoot? Or yeah, I think it's Blackfoot.
But, Johnny Cash had one.
Yeah, Folsom Prison Blues. Or I hear that train a-coming.
Yeah.
It's rolling around the bend.
It's coming around the bend right now. We don't get educated here.
We need to send a few people on that train trip, I think, you know. In our government agencies, it seems to me, they're totally off the beaten control path. Yeah, we're just talking about this whole control thing, but let's try to stay on point. Let's talk about Knighton Road a little bit, and what are your thoughts there? I mean, your opponent still believes that that should be implemented, I'm assuming, what was the big to-do? The state came in, and you know, the Hawkins development and Cherry Creek Bottom was up in arms. And, you know, obviously we want some commerce around here because it's, well, we're just overloaded with jobs in Shasta County. You know that. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, there's no unemployment, right?
Yeah, all you have to do is get a sign. Hey, there's plenty of jobs. All you have to do is get a sign that I will work for food or, you know, help me or I'm just kidding. I need beer and stand anywheres. And guess what? You've got
your employee.
Well,
no, because they're telling people that they can't do that anymore there either. So going to be out of a job if you're on the street corner too, you know.
Yeah. So you can be like Matt Foley, motivational speaker living in his van down by the river.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I tell them every time I see them that Labor Ready hires every morning at about 6 a.m. It's up on Lake Boulevard. Go up there, get a job. Daily work, daily pay.
Hey, it's better than daily starvation and pulling into the belt. Yeah. So, anyway, let's get back to Bill. He's our guest, and we're going off the deep end here and off the rails. So let's pull it back in.
All right. You would go on the Hawkins developer.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's do that one.
Well, you know, that was a really hot issue, and it actually hit the ballot, and it was turned down by the Shasta County citizens. That's because I've been on Shasta Lake for 25 years. Shasta County citizens, right close to 70%. I think it was 68 or 69%. They voted against it. I am for commerce. I'm for building. I think that's what we need to do to get out of our tax burden society. We need more businesses. We need more friendly development. That's what I was saying earlier with our planning commission and resource management and so forth. They do need to be more acceptable to new business starts and so forth. Being in business 25 years, I would certainly not, I would be contradicting myself if I said I wasn't for business. But the Knight Roden project had a very unique problem. It had a traffic problem, and the overpass coming off of I-5 was it was too close to I-5 for the traffic to merge into various lanes, plus the trucks coming in to get into proper lane to go north or south. Ideally, in a traffic situation, you want 3/4 of a mile from where you're going to go in and out, or ingress and regress. Where your entries are, 3/4 of a mile is ideal. You don't have to have 3/4 of a mile, but it's ideal. If you had a half a mile or maybe even a third of a mile. But that particular project had less than an eighth of a mile, okay, which puts it down to 600-700 feet, which is the length of two football fields. Not enough room for them to move around. There would have been a lot of congregation of cars trying to switch around, move around. And what Caltrans did is they brought a lawsuit against the County Board of Supervisors, Shasta County residents, welcome to the lawsuit, guys, and also the Hawkins Development Group over the traffic problem. And they stated in there that people would die on I-5 because the traffic in the slow lane would be dead stop because they couldn't get off the freeway. And that's where I just had to draw the line. I'm going, why do we want to develop something that's going to have a huge problem on the other side, on the other end, that we can't resolve? Now, they could put in a new overpass, and I believe that's what a Hawkins development was hoping that would happen, that if they got their development in, Caltrans would have to come along and spend the $30 to $40 million to put a new overpass in with four lanes. Revise the on-ramp, off-ramps to be a lot longer with dual lanes and so forth to where they could try to accommodate the
But the, the possibility that that might not happen is pretty high considering the budget restraints right now. And, I mean, there's no money. I mean,
no.
Yeah, I mean, so this could be the big dig, the bridge to nowhere if we're not careful.
Yeah. You know, and Dunlap had a problem with the septic system. You know, it was a huge septic system, 20 acres, and they said the life of that would not last. You know, they gave a certain shelf life. I'm not sure how long it is. A lot of septic systems start having problems in 20 years. But it just, the traffic was the main issue for me, and I couldn't buy into it because I, and the other thing is, and I hate to say this, but I mean, retail really, I don't think it's a fair decision that if we're going to pull – what happened with the downtown mall when the Mount Shasta Mall got built, okay? The downtown mall went dormant, all right? What's going to happen if they build a new mall out there? The businesses in Redding are going to have a decline in their economic base,
right.
and people are going to start losing their jobs. So it was all like, we're going to hire this many jobs, we're going to have this much money. But Jeff Hess, who was a ramrod of this project, I talked to him a couple times. We had coffee a few times. Nice guy. But he was saying, we're going to get business off I-5. I can't buy into that because if it's an old country road and you're out for a daily cruise with your wife and you're out visiting a winery or something and stopping and having fun, but I-5 is an artery. You get on I-5 to go somewhere.
Right.
You're not going to pull off the freeway and watch a movie and have dinner and buy some stuff and spend the night and just and sit around, especially with the economic situation it is right now. People don't have the money to do it.
Well,
so I couldn't see businesses coming from I-5. I would think that it would hurt Anderson and Redding probably the most.
And that tax dollars would be deferred into the county.
Well, and that's what I think they thought. I think it came from a greedy standpoint. And, you know, and I think that's why we need to talk about tax sharing.
Right.
Because, you know, we're all Shasta County, okay? Shasta County Board of Supervisors isn't a different entity over in Idaho. It's actually in Shasta County. Redding is not a different entity that's over in Nevada. It's actually in Shasta County. The same with Anderson. So why don't we, you know, for me, if you're going to resolve a problem, you can't resolve a problem by taking away something from everybody and giving it to the other person. That doesn't resolve the problem.
Isn't that redistribution?
That's redistribution, yes. Listen, and it doesn't resolve the problem. You've got to make it equitable so everybody understands what's happening. And sometimes you don't like the decision, but at least it's a little more equitable than this was going to be.
Okay, well, let's move on. We're running out of time. I want to talk about redevelopment, but I also want to say I promised Ernie and Dave that we would talk about their show.
All right, there you go. Ernie and Dave, we're talking about you.
Swapping Stuff in the morning. You guys are great.
7 to 8.
7 to 8. All right. Be there or be square. Okay. So let's talk about realignment now.
Well, realignment, you know, I mean, the there's a lot of criticism with the county and everything, how they're handling it because they're taking too long and everything. You know, I mean, I can sympathize with that. I was at Preston School of Industry, like I said earlier, and not because I was there, but I know what the state did. The state just took. And they took their financial obligation that they didn't feel like they wanted. They wanted to cut their budgets, and they just dumped that particular problem on the counties. And the counties were already strapped for money, strapped for jail space. They don't have 10 more parole agents they can just put on these cases as they roll in and everything. Or they don't have a distribution center where they can analyze what they're going to do with them and work through what they need to do with them. And so it's all taken time, and a lot of people are going, well, you know, they're just not operating in a fair and equitable manner on that, or they should be doing it a lot quicker. But if you're not there and you're not realizing what the problem really is, everybody can have an opinion, but that's just all it is, an opinion. It's not a fact, and it's not a solution to the problem. You've got to be involved with the problem.
Do you think, too, and I think that more and more of the cities, counties, and the states are having to deal with the fact that revenues are going to keep going down because we have not come out of this problem, and we need to plan our structures and, you know, our counties and so forth, what we're doing around our expenditures, with the idea that the revenues are going to be shrinking, I would think, because, you know, if they start coming back, hey, great, but we can't be planning on the pie in the sky as in the past, where, you know, you're getting 2-3% growth a year and the revenues are going up by 10-20% a year. It's not happening anymore.
No, it's not happening anymore. And that's the type of planning. And I know our sheriff, he's talked about redistributing them to different counties. We have to buy bed space and so forth. And that's probably right now the best solution we can work out until we can look at this thing in a long-term plan. And I'm saying long-term. This is not going to happen overnight. This is, if we're talking about trying to build a jail down the road and things like that, we need to determine really where we want the jail and how we're going to fund it. We get into the state funding, you know, they were offering that $33 million to build a jail, but there was no guarantee that they were going to come up with the whole $33. Suppose they came up with $10 and we started it, and they said, we're done, we're broke, which they are broke. We all know that. Then now you guys got to finish it, and Shasta County says, we can't finish it. So, right. Well, we're going to come in and we're going to finish it, but we're going to make it a state penitentiary. Now we've got a state penitentiary downtown Reading. That's not great. Okay, so I think the board made a decision.
Not only that, they'll have to raise everybody's taxes to pay for it.
Yeah, I think the board made a great decision when they went 5-0 against it, because here was the problem, okay, and me and Sheriff Vasenko agreed with
that. You got to hurry, Bill, because we're down to 1 minute here.
We had $6.2 million to maintain it. We didn't have it. Sherry Beck got done that day, and she said she was totally for it 100%. So, you know, she was just out of touch on that one. And the $6.2 million, we don't have it. We don't have it to maintain the jail.
Very good. Well, we're down to 30 seconds here. Don't die. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Do you have anything
and
to say?
And so get up off the couch, folks, and get educated and get out there and vote.
Yeah, and go see Ernie and Dave on Saturday morning.
Ernie and Dave.
There you go. The stand down. Remember, go back.
And get to a local tea party. Get involved. And we'll see you all next week.
Freedom is the only thing that means a damn to me.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta.
Sing a song for me. Oh, we
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Storm warnings and watches lifted for Florida. Hurricane Sandy heading north and up the East Coast.
Currently it's moving away from the northwest Bahamas and will be paralleling the coast of the southeast U.S. Over the next day or two.
Daniel Brown at the National Hurricane Center. That storm's kicking out sustained winds of 39 miles an hour as far away as 450 miles from its center. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announcing some mandatory evacuations from barrier islands.
This morning I formally declared a state of emergency in anticipation of Hurricane Sandy, which is expected to be a severe and a potentially devastating storm that will hit New Jersey beginning Sunday night and be in full force by Monday.
Mitt Romney canceling an event in Virginia tomorrow night because of the storm. He has three campaign rallies scheduled today.
This morning,
Governor Romney on a weekend swing through Florida, where early voting started this morning. His appearance off the back of a major speech on the economy, deficit, and federal spending.